I was recording a podcast with someone the other night, and I was drinking turmeric tea, and he picked up his mug, and he was drinking some chamomile tea, and I'm like, see, this is what happens. Like, you would say two almost 40-year-olds be on a podcast, you would and at night when there's everybody else asleep, you'd imagine they'll have a glass of whiskey or something like that in front of them. No, two men sitting having chamomile and turmeric tea recording a podcast. So.
Hello and welcome. I'm Shashank Mehta, founder at thewholetruthfoods.com, and you're listening to The Whole Truth Project. Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of The Whole Truth Project. Today we have with us Varun, who is the founder at The Glitch, which is one of India's premier new age creative agencies, if I may say. And The Glitch was acquired by WPP in 2017. So unlike us paper money entrepreneurs, Varun has actually seen an exit too. Varun is also a serial podcaster. So this is a bit intimidating for rookies like me. But most importantly, Varun is a super duper fit guy. And that's the aspect of his life that we want to deep dive into today. So hey, Varun, welcome. And thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks so much for having me. And just to add one thing is that I have moved from being entrepreneur to now being a corporate person. It's not, I still have many feelings about being a corporate employee, but yeah, I guess there are pluses and minuses to all forms of entrepreneur journeys, I guess.
But don't kill us budding entrepreneurs' dream of exiting someday. We know that. let us believe that,
that
the
is
grass
true.
Is greener.
That is true. I will not burst that bubble right now.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to start with, while researching for this, I was going through your Insta bio and it says that you're fitness obsessed. I want to start by asking you, what does that mean to you and what got you obsessed?
So it's actually had different meanings for me at different points in life. I think a small percentage of people who are like me who have the opposite problem of everybody else around me, which is that I lose weight very easily. Right. People have told me that they will slap me if I call it a problem, but it is a genuine problem. Right. I've been told that I lose weight easily. And I've always been that. I was that scrawny kid in class. I was that one who wasn't necessarily the most athletic. So I'd say early childhood, it meant a lot about, okay, can you bulk up? Right. You'd watch a Sylvester Stallone movie or you'd watch something of that sort. And it's okay, let's go start. So I was a gym bro for a long time, occasional on and off gym bro. You do it for some time. You do not necessarily do stuff to make yourself fitter, but to just make yourself visually, you'd focus on just like, don't work out legs, just focus out arms and chest. I did all of those things. Went through a set of injuries towards my early 20s, where obviously did all the same mistakes that you don't work out on your shoulders right. You have lower back pain, all those things, which now I look back and saying, I know exactly why those things happened. But why I say fitness obsessed is, I think about three odd years ago when we had our daughter, I'd gotten into a process of working out regularly, but again, like it was still standard gym workouts but I was very regular, about 4 or 5 days a week. And I had bulked up to an extent, but the weird part was I had trouble carrying a daughter around, a small baby around for too long, because at some point your arms start feeling little like, that feel the weight, you'd feel that strain. And I remember Pooja said to me that, what's the point of you building so much biceps? You can't even like walk around with your daughter for too long. I wouldn't call that a flashpoint, but I think at that point I started trying out functional workouts. I tried stuff that would make me fitter in that sense. I was like, not necessarily, I know I won't go the standard definition of dad bod, but can I be a fitter father is where it started. But that led me to trying out different things. And I think over the last 3-4 years, it's been an interesting journey of me finding yoga, which my mother's really happy about, because I can call her a certified yoga teacher, because she actually has gone through that process. And now I try everything. I'll do boxing one day. I'll do yoga the other day. I'll do high intensity. I'll do pilo. I literally try to find newer things to do. Animal flow. But I still do. I have those days when I just want to pick up weight. So I do that as well. So why am I fitness obsessed? It's because I keep trying too much stuff around fitness and not as much with food, but I think more with fitness.
Got it. And I am definitely one of those who wants to hit people who have the opposite problem. So it's good we are in a virtual setting. But you know, what I've noticed is, so I used to be that super fat kid in school, and there were these kids around me who would eat twice that I would and never gain weight, etc. What I've noticed now, now that all of us are these mid to late 30s guys, the tables have turned. Because I started as a fat guy, I became so obsessed with fitness that I can't imagine a life without being fit now. Yeah. And all of them took it for granted. And now, you know, all their sins of the past are catching up. So I'm always very intrigued by thin kids, scrawny kids. And all of us as kids think thin is equal to fit.
Yeah.
Right. How is it that some of them, like you, also get interested in fitness? What drove you? Because you didn't have a appearance problem like I did. What drove you towards fitness?
You know, interestingly, it is an appearance problem. You kind of feel, and I felt this for a large part of my, I'd say, younger years. You kind of feel like you're, you know, when you're thinner, you're not considered strong. You're not that good at sport. I also have this weird problem, which I think over time my body just acclimatized to it, is that I have flat feet, plus my knees hyperextend, which means when I stand fully straight, my legs look like they're curved, in the sense that I'm almost like an ostrich walking around. But that's something which is not extreme. So my body's figured a way to kind of stand. So nobody even notices it unless I really, once in a while for fun, I just show it to people and they're like, what? That just looks really weird. So I feel that if you're thin but not fit, you end up being really bad at stuff like sport. You know, you definitely don't have energy. And it's almost it's a myth saying thin people are fit, because you can be a thin person with a paunch. I was briefly that person. I have many friends who are those people. And that's the worst kind of visual, right? I mean, just from a visual perspective, we're all fit. We all try to be fit to look a certain way. I mean, there's no going around it. You know, you might say, no, I want to feel good on the inside, all that stuff. No, we all try to be fit so we can look a certain way. Right?
Anyone with a mirror,
exactly.
With a mirror cannot deny that.
Exactly, right. So, I think it's a confidence thing. And I feel it swings on both sides. If you're overweight, if you're underweight, you just don't feel confident. And the fitter you feel, the more confident you feel. And that's how, I still don't want to play sport. It manifests itself in interesting ways. But, I mean, as a thin person, there are so many things. The fact that you can't pick up a weight is something that really bothers you, right? Now I love working out with 2.5 kilo dumbbells, because I think you can do so much with those. But there was a time, let's get to that 30 kg dumbbell was a focus.
Yeah, actually, and let me ask you a question related to that, because when you said getting to that 30 kg dumbbell, I think it's a measure of progress, right? We see it as a measure of getting better. But now that I see what you do today, from your Instagram, I see you doing a lot more body weight exercises. Sometimes you're doing animal flow, you're doing jumping jacks, mostly composite full body stuff with fairly light weights. Yeah. And you just told us that you also do yoga, etc. nowadays. How do you track progress? Like, what's your approach to fitness now? And how do you tell yourself whether you're doing well or not?
So over time, there are a few things I learned, right? I used to obsess at looking at the weighing scale, in terms of I always wanted to be around a 70-75 kg mark. It was like, and I went through this 1 year, I remember, where I spent about 4 to 6 months really trying to bulk up, and I went obsessive into it. I did all the stuff that you do for it and hit that 70-75, but I always felt bloated. So I never really, I don't look at it that often. I once in a while check, have I really gone down? Because when you gauge yourself by looking at yourself visually, and that's what I do. I say, visually, am I looking too thin? Maybe you need to reduce the high intensity workouts, add a little bit more singular weights and stuff like that. So I've learned over time to look at that metric. It's just generally, when you look at yourself visually, you know which parts aren't great. If your lower back is hurting a lot, you know you need to be able to do a lot more stretches. You need to give more time for that. If you are, interestingly, stretches have become a recent obsession for me. Is that learning how to stretch for different parts. Like people literally call me saying, okay, my neck is hurting at this point. What stretch should I do? And I know, right? Because I have like this random apparatus. I have those, I don't know what they're called. Those weird balls which you can put on your back to do that. I have the hands-free massager which you can kind of which has different heads on it. Like people say, Varun has this box of contraptions that are torture techniques. So you'll have two kinds of rollers. So stretching has been like, it's something which I do even if I'm taking a rest day. I spend about 15 minutes just stretching in the morning and stuff like that. So how I've been able to gauge this is that it's just how do you look visually? Do you feel good? And some days it's also a mindset. Like if I wake up someday and saying, okay, I'm feeling a little cloudy in my head, I actually do yoga. If I wake up a day, some mornings really pissed off, I play some metal music and I do only weights. So I think workouts are also a mindset. And if you can find different things that help different mindsets, that's the best. And you'll feel better, which means you'll visually also kind of look at yourself differently.
Very interesting. The thing that I find interesting there is, you know, in the absence of a big goal like you used to have in an earlier life where itna bulk up karna hai, these are the weights I want to do. You seem to, and I know you talk about the goals versus systems. It seems that, you know, your motivation now to work out every day is coming from a different place. So can you unpeel that layer a bit that, you know, in the absence of some big milestone or metric that you're tracking against, what gets you up and into a workout every day?
You mentioned systems, right? I think that's important, is that traditional gym workouts, and I feel that's a problem we've had in India, especially. I think it's around the world, but India, it took its time to kind of come in. Were always those 1-1.5 hour sessions in the gym, right? You had to go somewhere, you do that and all that stuff. So for me, it's like if it's half an hour a day, 20 minutes a day, you have to work out every single day. So there'll be 2 days in a month when I will not do any form of exercise, but they will literally be almost every other day where I'll do some form. And so I've realized that about a half an hour, 40 minute mark is a great thing to do, but also push yourself to do it. If you're really not into it that day, your body will tell you, so just stretch. I kept it that way. And the system is what keeps me going. It's a, you know, I'm a huge Dwayne Johnson fan, and he talks about this thing called the anchor, right? Like he's like, he has to go to the gym every day because that's his anchor. I really believe in that, that there are a few things that you do in your day which anchor your entire day, no matter all the madness that might surround it. So for me, like, just like my morning routine, my workout, there are some of the, and I spend about half an hour, 1 hour in the night just reading or doing something else. So it's those three things at different times of the day, which are my anchors. So I use them that way. I use them to kind of give me more energy. So because the workout's supposed to make you feel more energetic, not make you feel drained, which is why I don't run as much. I've realized that running for me as an exercise makes me feel a lot more drained than giving me energy. I might try it again. I haven't tried it in a while. So that's really how I've looked at it. So is there a goal? There are goals, right? I mean, you'd always want that one six pack. But what I've realized is that my core is strong enough. It's just that diet has never been, I have many indulgences in my diet. So, and which I'm okay to not let go. I don't want to let go of all of those also. So I'm like, I'm okay to not have like a hardcore six pack. I mean, as long as my core is strong, if I can lift a weight the right way, then I know that it's strong enough. So yeah, I'm just letting that one pass.
Absolutely. I was talking to Ashton, another member on our guest on our podcast the other day, and he was like, yeah, you'll get a six pack, but the stuff you'll have to do for it, there will be no one around in your social life to look at your six pack because you'll stop drinking, you'll stop having all the good stuff.
100%.
Is there a specific time of day that you, when you speak of anchoring and this activity being part of the anchor of your day, is there a specific time that you work out?
I try to work out in the morning. I try to find about half an hour, 45 minutes in the morning. And morning is anytime between 7 a.m. and 12 p.m., to be honest. Depends on many factors. So my daughter has school starting at 8 a.m. So most days it's never going to be earlier than that. It'll be at some point when either I hand off her classes to Pooja or Pooja hands off to me. So I find half an hour somewhere in between there to do it, which is why my workouts are shorter. I've realized that I can get all I need from the workout, but I can spare half an hour. I can spare, some days I can spare a 40-minute thing, which is like a weekend. Then I go for a 40-45 minute workout, but it's generally between that morning period. I used to be an evening workout person before I got married. And then I realized that evenings, if you're just going off and working out many times, you don't generally get time to kind of spend. I mean, initially with Pooja and now with Leia in the evening. So all workouts move to the morning. And I think mornings are great. You just get it done in the morning. You start off your day on the right note. Only sometimes I do stretches at night.
Got it. And this morning workout is on like just coffee? Do you eat something before it?
You know, there's this thing which I started, and it's more a lockdown routine. I used to be a person who tried to have different kinds of, you know, breakfast. I've tried all kinds. I tried to do just the eggs and bread piece and all that stuff. I became this person who would have a smoothie every morning. I still do most mornings, unless like today morning I got up and there was dosa at home. I'm like, what dosa I can have? So I'll have like a couple of dosas and then give it about a half an hour after that, and then go for my workout. But most days it's very standard. There is it's a mixture of rolled oats, protein powder, a banana, some frozen berries, some chia seeds, and milk and water, and that's literally it. The berries change from time to time. Everything else pretty much stays the same. Some days I just won't put the berries if I don't have any. But because I buy them by the kilo, they're in the freezer for a while. So that's literally how I start most mornings, except when I'm enticed by a dosa or a vada or something like that. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Today I will do this and give a longer break between breakfast and the workout. I love my coffee. So, and I only drink it black with no sugar, nothing like that. That precedes the workout, which is perfect.
Awesome. Got it. I want to zoom out a little bit and, talk to you now as the creative person that you are. And, you know, at least the way the Western media and the madmens of the world have portrayed the ad guys, they're supposed to live these chaotic, flamboyant lives, late nights and drinking and client, deadlines and mining and dining. And we've been talking about, you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, which is discipline and consistency and system, right? How do you reconcile these two? Because most people, I think, generally don't correlate the creative process with consistency and discipline, etc. What role does all of this play in, you know, the 80% part of your life, which is creation?
So, a lot of the stories are not, I think there's a lot of animatedness to the stories behind the whole Mad Men space, but does it involve late nights? Of course it does. Does it involve drinking, all that stuff? It definitely does. But what I've actually seen, I've seen an interesting trend, and I've seen this from people, like, I'm not even talking about myself. I see this from a lot of people in my office, right? These are people who are young, who want to go out and party. And I'm talking pre-COVID era, and now even just sitting at home and working from home. But I've genuinely seen all of them want to have some sort of a health regime. So even if they are kind of going out, they do want to get that workout in. For some of them, it could be tiny. And it's the same thing for me. It's good to have that in your day. For some of them, I've heard some people say that, no, I just do this so I can go binge eat after that. There are many of those. But I think what it really does is it gives you that point to one of two things. If you are working out in a format where you have an instructor telling you, running you by a workout, right? Many of my workouts are pre-recorded ones where I'm following someone's instructions for about a half an hour, 45-minute period. There you are forgetting about everything else around. You're focusing right on that, focusing on that person, and that really helps you almost like reboot your mind. The other way is that you really want to think about something. So your workout doesn't involve anything apart from maybe just music and you just thinking and you working out. So it almost works like meditation, where you singular focus on something. So many times, depending on which one works for you, that's a good way I've seen people use it. The same way someone says that I want to go think of an idea, let me go for a walk. Some people just go do a workout, go for a run. And I think that really helps. It's a more constructive way to finding ideas. This myth of intoxication breeds creativity, I think is far gone now, thankfully. Many still subscribe to it, but I think it's far gone for the larger set over there. And I think what it also does, and interestingly does, is that it opens you up to meeting people who have a different mindset as well. I know there are a bunch of people, and I'm speaking about from people from my office, because I know some of them who built almost like a community of friends around a CrossFit box, or a community of people who work out together on Zoom workout right now. So it also gives you the ability to connect with different people. And the more people you connect with from outside of your own pond, the more you're aware about what you can come up with creatively. I think that really helps. I think it's a great way to build a community for yourself outside of the intoxicated communities that you can build.
Got it. Actually, one of my favorite books of all times. Have you read Murakami's What I Think About When I Think About Running?
No, I haven't actually. I've been meaning to.
You must. So that's the first book which told me that, you know, being creative and being disciplined are not two different things.
Yeah.
And Murakami is like a ultra marathoner, the stupid fellow. Like, he runs like long distances. And then he writes about fish falling out of the sky. So styling these two things, just knowing. And he's written, like, that book is all as autobiographical as he's ever gotten. And he just talks about how running fuels his creative process.
I really must think about running again. It's been something people have been telling me. I'm just worried about my knees giving away because of how my feet are.
It will be tougher for you because you're flat-footed also. So your pronation will be a lot tougher. But yeah. Like, part of the thing of running is it is the ability to get through pain. Yeah. Because after 5 kilometers, everyone's bodies give up. Right. And that, actually, that's what Murakami also talks about, that it teaches you how suffering is. And I think you've also spoken about it, how pain and suffering are so ephemeral and they're just sensations.
100%. So I went back to find his book. I think it's called Ultra Human. This guy, and he was a swimmer in his college days, went through alcoholism, etc. You know, guy could have gone to the Olympics and didn't end up doing that, became a lawyer, but generally became unfit. Just when he turned 40, he had this moment where he couldn't go up the stairs and he was huffing and puffing and stuff like that. So he decided to make a change in life. At 42 or 43, he ran the Ultraman race. And then the year after that, he tried to do 5 Ultramans in 5 days. And he did it in 7 days, by the way. So it's a very interesting book. It's a little randomly structured because it swings between story to suddenly going deep into how your diet should be, which is the only thing I found a little disjointed, but it's a fabulous read. Like, I'm like, the way those guys even did it, because it's an ultra marathon. So, like, I mean, like, you're talking cycling, swimming and running. And he did 5 of those, basically 5 islands in Hawaii you have to go to. And they had to plan their travel in a way to be able to do those, which is why they ended up having to take 2 extra days because travel didn't work out. Or they just like were totally busted. But yeah, there's something so interesting about pushing yourself at, like, I'm almost 40, I'm only 40 next year. And for me, it's become a lot more. And I'm told by Pooja and a couple of my friends that I'm going through my own midlife crisis of me being over-obsessed with workouts and fitness and saying, and especially started after the Instagram video started and me doing whatever I'm doing in those. And it's like, you know, don't, my mother literally called me and said, don't hurt yourself by doing these things. So at some point I'm like, no, I'm not trying to hurt myself. These are things I'm actually practiced and actually done, and I'm finding an interesting way to put them across.
It's a much better midlife crisis to have than going and buying Porsches and stuff. And B, actually, you know, this example that you're giving me also, it just goes to prove that most endurance sports are mental sports. They're not physical sports.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, that's why, and the proof of that quantitatively is the fact that the world record holders on marathon timings, etc., are all 30 plus. Unlike all other sports in the world, where the world record holders are 20, early 20s, Because it's a mental sport. It's much more than physical prowess that gets you there. But I also want to talk about a bit about nutrition. I know you said that's not one aspect that you stress as much about as much as you do around the workout regime. But tell us, how do you approach it? Like, is it anything is fine, or is it some broad rules that you follow and then stick within those?
So I do have some broad rules. The same way how I mentioned about the workouts, right, how we look visually, I know that there are some foods that make me feel bloated, some foods that make me feel more lethargic. Like, I'm a rice eater, I'm South Indian, so rice is preferred. And happily for me, whenever I eat rotis is when I get bloated. So I'm very happy that I can just continue to eat rice. But I've realized that I do smaller things. Eat more vegetables. Like, you know, I eat normal ghar ka khana, right? I don't try to do anything different. But I'll have more of the vegetables and less of the rice. Let's see. I just look at my quantities a little differently based on what I'm looking at right now. So if I get too scrawny at some point because I've just been pushing the high-intensity workouts because I'm enjoying that, I just increase the amount of rice I eat, for instance. Protein for me, I still like a protein shake. I've also discovered in recent times that protein shakes have gotten a lot better. They become better tasting. You also get ones which are non-milky. So you have the clear ones, which you almost feel like you're drinking juice. So I enjoy those. So I have some of those, like one or two of those in a day. I have a regular diet. And I've never been a fan of fried food, interestingly enough. I love chips and all that stuff. But if you give me like deep fried and all that stuff, I've never been a fan. So thankfully for me, that's not been a point of where it affects me. But it's almost become a gauge of saying, okay, these are things which I do enjoy and I want to eat from time to time. Like, I enjoy a good pizza. I enjoy having a drink. And all those things I will do. But can I give up deep fried food? If anybody asks me in an instant, I can. Because I can't think of one deep fried thing which I genuinely like, apart from maybe a vada. Even on the other front, I'm not a huge red meat eater. Like, I like to have red meat on and off, but I don't have to eat it every day. I don't have to eat non-vegetarian food every day, right? A large part of my family is vegetarian. I'm one of those who said, no, I want the choice. So they'll be happy if they hear this. But I just do the basics. I try to not overthink it. I also have over time realized that there's this time you go through life when you can suddenly have a drink every day because you're an adult. And you think it's one drink every night, but you do realize at some point it does affect how you feel in the morning, just like energy-wise, and also how your face starts to look. So now I've supplemented my nightcap with turmeric tea, which I got gifted one of those boxes of turmeric ginger tea. And being a podcaster, I've realized that turmeric ginger tea is great for your throat. So I should drink that every night. It helps me keep my voice healthy. So I know, sounds weird. I drink lemon in warm water in the morning. I drink turmeric tea at night. It's lemon in warm water is my mother has pushed me towards it, and now it's become a part of my mornings. I wake up in the morning, first thing I do, warm water, lemon. That's like now a given. The turmeric tea was more just finding an alternative to reaching for that drink.
What a jump, like from your nightcap to turmeric tea.
Actually, not bad. I was recording a podcast with someone the other night and I was drinking turmeric tea and he picked up his mug and he was drinking some chamomile tea. And I'm like, see, this is what happens. Like, you know, you would say two almost 40-year-olds be on a podcast, you would, at night when there's everybody else asleep, you'd imagine they'll have a glass of whiskey or something like that in front of them. No, two men sitting having chamomile and turmeric tea recording a podcast. I get obsessive about some things. And now I'm getting really into these night teas.
No, brilliant. Please, I think you should record a video of that and play that as a spot inside Mad Men episodes. That this is actually what creative life looks like. Not that you enter office and there's always this, jar of whiskey sitting there that you keep pouring out of and drinking.
So interestingly, one of the rooms in our house, we actually have that old school whiskey cart that you see in Mad Men when we were moving into this house. That's one of the things I always wanted. I don't reach for it as much. I leave it for weekends or like days when I know I don't have to wake up in the morning.
Nice. With one of those crystal decanters, etc., is it?
I haven't gone that far. Crystal decanters a bit much, but there's some things like, this is a weird one. I found this contraption through a friend, which if you're pouring wine, you want to aerate the wine, but the aeration is a process. So this tiny thing you can buy where if you pour through that, it aerates it while it's flowing into the glass. So I find this tinier contraption that save time. The decanter and all is a bit much. I mean, I thought about it once, but I was like,
No, but I like this contraption fetish of yours. It's good that you were not born pre-World War.
You would have been. You will find random things. Like if I literally, like I'm sitting on this desk, if I open the desk, you will most probably find one roll-on for like any kind of like muscle pain. Because my lower back has taken years to get back into shape. I have a bad shoulder from, I would say almost like what, 12, 14 years ago, which is now much, which is like almost 100% fine, but I just keep an eye on it because I almost got a rotator cuff issue working out in the gym because you were pushing weights and you don't, form is the problem, right? And I also had like one solid trainer for the longest time. He was this proper gym bro who would call everyone, you know, those trainers who call everyone bro, right? He's that bro, right? So, and I worked out with him for years. And now in the words of many of my friends, I'm cheating on him for the last couple of years, especially through lockdown, with because I work out using one specific app, which is called Center, and I follow all my entire workout regime is built around that, and which it's actually that's the one which actually changed my entire perspective on fitness.
Awesome. Speaking of trainers, I also know that you had Chris Hemsworth's trainer on your podcast a while back.
Yeah.
What was the biggest thing that you learned from that conversation?
So, Center, the app I spoke of, was actually started by Chris Hemsworth. So, Chris Hemsworth and Elena Patsky, they started the app. So, Ralk is their functional trainer. So, there's Luke Zocchi, who's always on. There's another guy. So, basically, all of them have worked with either Chris or worked with Elena Patsky. So, they put this bunch together, which is why it's so dynamic, because on one day you will get like weights, on the other day you will get like a mixture of weights and high intensity. So it's a nice mixture of programs and individual things, from boxing to Pilates. I tried Pilates. Only thing which I still haven't fully put my head around, because it's interesting, but I don't know. There are parts of it which I still don't get. But I mean, like, what's the harm in trying it out? So that's how it happened. So literally, I was out of town with a few friends. This is, I think, in between when lockdowns opened up and you were allowed to kind of travel. A few of us, along with the kids, just went and took a spot where the kids could just play and we could just hang for a few days. And we were doing a workout from the Center app. And I think we put up a small clip of that online, and we tagged him because it was his workout. And Ralk liked it. I'm like, this is the chance. So I just wrote to him randomly and said, I'd love to have you on the podcast. And he said, let's do it. Because he's been planning to kind of, I think, come to India with some of his products, etc. So he was quite happy to do it. And his story is so interesting that he trains first responders. He trains Navy SEALs, firefighters, and all of them about how to be fit for the stuff they do. So a lot of his workouts are about like, how far can you walk just in a squat position? Because many times guys have to go under low beams and stuff like that. So he has taught me that there are movements that are possible, which you would think, why would I even try those things? So, so that's how I kind of got him on. Great guy to chat with, very, very relaxed. And that's how that happened. Now I need to get the other trainers on.
I actually got to Ralk's profile because of this research, because I realized he's come to you, and what he does is true functional training, because he trains you for the job, the extreme job that, you know, these first responders or firefighters, etc., might need to do. That's amazing.
Yeah. And he's a big guy, right? If you see him, he's a big guy. Yeah. He doesn't look like, normally you'd think a functional training person would be that slim person, but he's a big guy, but he can do like 1,000, like 100 sit-throughs in one flow. And And it's crazy how you can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Also a bit of a beast.
and you know, it's funny how, like you were talking about carrying your daughter. We don't have kids, but whenever I carry someone else's kid, like within 15 minutes, not even 15 minutes, like 5 minutes, my arm starts hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mother carries around the kid for like 2-3 hours. There is some biology there.
100%.
And being fit for the job that you're supposed to do is actually one of the great ways of measuring whether you're fit or not. Like, can you get through life in a very easy way given what you do?
You're saying this. I want to jump in because there's one thing which I was telling someone the other day that I want to be fit for life, because you know there's stuff you want to do. You want to be able to carry those big shopping bags around from the grocery store. You want to be able to carry a kid around. I actually do kettlebells with Leia. She loves it. She's my kettlebell and I swing her up and down. And I realize it just literally comes down to two things, right? Comes down to you having a strong enough core and you being able to breathe right. If you get those two on point, then everything else kind of flows over time. So that's literally that. I never thought the core would be so, because you always thought of core as this thing, oh, people won't have abs, right? But it's not about abs at all. It's about saying if that can actually be solid, then anything you pick up, any way you move, weirdly enough, when I have to pick up a normal thing, it's almost like I'm doing a deadlift to pick something up from the floor. But I think some of those movements become almost natural to how you flow.
You basically start squatting with your back straight and
picking
stuff up with your legs, not with your back.
Exactly. Yeah.
Talking of your daughter, Leia, of course, I'd love it if you tell people why she's called what she's called. I know the story, but I want them to know. And how do you think of, like, as a parent, incorporating this outlook towards fitness early on in her life? I know she keeps coming on to your podcast, but does she also come into your workout routines? And how do you, you know, think of, as a parent, teaching that aspect of life to her?
So, A, she's called Leia because she's named after Princess Leia from Star Wars. We were thinking of names when we were expecting her. We did not have any names for a boy. Thankfully, we had a girl. And I suggested this name. We both liked it. It was short. It wasn't complicated. It might just require some teaching in terms of pronunciation. But and we also went, and for people who wouldn't know what Star Wars was, if from the family, we went and Googled it and realized that it means child of heaven. So we didn't tell everybody the Star Wars reasoning. We told a lot of them it means child of heaven. And we went that route. So it worked with some of the non-Star Wars folk. But actually with her, what I've actually, and I think there's a mindset that when we were in school, and I feel most times sport was about, okay, it's about, will you be a, almost like being a module, right? It's like, are you a sportsman or you're not a sportsman? I feel that kids now, and I've seen that with her, they look at sport like it's just something they do every day. It's not necessarily competitive. She has like skating class, for instance, right? And she loves doing that. And as much as they want to do the competitive parts, I think for her and a lot of the other kids, they're just doing because they're having fun. And for her, it's just that. I just want to make sure that she has fun with any form of physical fitness, her food anyway. I mean, it's not regulated, but we again, we're a little careful about too much sugar. I have a stash of Skittles, which I do give it to her once in a while. So she knows that Papa has Skittles hidden away. But beyond that, just try to keep the basics alive, and especially both in terms of but the way she eats, and especially about but just generally being able to go out and run and have some fun. So so nothing out of the way, but I'd love for her to just be fit, or rather take up just like any form of sport or fitness just because it's fun for her rather than any other reason. Weirdly enough, she has seen me do workouts, and she'll walk in and whenever she sees, she tries to do some of those. I have a few videos of those lying around, which are quite funny, because she literally has one yoga pose she knows, which is downward dog. But to watch a 3.5-year-old do downward dog is one of the cutest things you'll ever see. But yeah, so she has fun doing it. She also likes to disrupt workouts. So if you're working out, she suddenly starts saying, I can also do this. And suddenly you have to pause your workout because she's trying to show me how she can do that. And yeah, so if you make it fun for kids, I realize that they really enjoy it. And I'm waiting to do some drills and stuff like that, because I think that's something we shouldn't have, right? We didn't do drills as kids. We would just be made to go round and round and do your, like, so, you know, if you think of PT exercise, you have a visual of few things, right? You would have your hands up and down, you would run around the ground. There was so much more we could have done in hindsight. But I think especially this generation of kids will have all of that, hopefully, than we did.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is she watches dad do it. I'm assuming she starts imitating also at times, etc.
Yeah.
I had Gulpanag on the podcast a few weeks ago, and her point was this, that just that she and her husband work out every day.
Yeah.
Their kid, he comes in, joins in, and he tries to imitate their posture. And she's like, now he's a 4-5 year old, and he now does a fairly perfect push-up, etc. Like, he started off with the imperfect form, but he kept looking at them. He now does fairly perfect push-ups. I guess just the fact that dad does this every day.
Yeah. And she actually says, it's interesting, right? And she's seeing two different forms of people working out. Like me, she sees me working out at home. She sees Pooja go every morning, early in the morning, to go for a run. So when she wakes up in the morning, many days Pooja is down for a run. So she knows that it's a part of our day. So it's almost naturally something which I'm hoping that she will see as not something she has to add to her life, but it's generally a part of your day-to-day life. So she loves to go down and play anyway. So thankfully, she's still being able to do that.
Yeah. I want to bring this to a close by, obviously talking about the world that we're living in today, which is indoors. You seem to be one of those few folks who's adapted fairly well to the workout from home routine. Talk to me about that. Like, how did your mindset shift, and then how did your workout routine have to shift to accommodate this new reality?
So I discovered a lot of body weight exercises through the early periods of lockdown, to be honest, because it's not like I had weights at home, any of those things. And as I kept doing those is when I realized that there will always be those times when you want to use those weights, want to do those other pieces. But I had a lot of fun doing those and just went ahead and just bought like a bunch of dumbbells right around the time when e-com opened up, I'd say sometime late last year. So have those stashed at home. And I realized that if you just have the basic dumbbells, a yoga mat, and just some form of an instruction piece there, you can actually have a more, more of a regular fitness regime than if you actually had to go to the gym. Because even though I have a gym in my building, it's still like go down, go in there and do that. And most times you're like, okay, when it's going to still take a little longer, then just like you're literally sitting in one of the rooms you're living in and working out. I feel it's actually going to change how we all look at fitness, right? It's like, I'm working with instructors who are sitting somewhere in one guy's in the UK, one guy's in the US, because they all function through that app. And I wouldn't have had access to a lot of them. I would still use trainers I have here. Or if you were someone very expensive, I would think twice about, okay, do I want to pay so much per session, etc. Now it's a lot more accessible. You can get the best trainers in the world to work with. Unless you really want them one-on-one, which is a whole different cost, I'm guessing. But, I actually enjoy working out from home a lot more, because I have now zero excuses. You literally can jump off the bed and work out no matter what space you have, no matter what equipment you don't have. You know, there are enough things you can do. So that excuse is out the window. Saying, no, I didn't have time to go to the gym is no longer an excuse, right? Your room is your gym.
Awesome. I'm going to end this. At this, I think it's been a real pleasure for me. I always enjoy speaking with folks who like this thing of creative people whose job it is to create. And when you lift the hood in the background, physical fitness, discipline, consistency, having systems over goals is actually their fuel too. And hence, I've found through this podcast that high performers in any field, if you lift the hood, the formula at the back end is kind of similar, even though they might be in very different fields. And I am always inspired by talking to folks like you. So thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Thanks for having me. And you actually made me think about a few things in terms of my diet. I think I mentioned dosa and vada too many times. I have to reconsider some of those choices.